Quick update. Bert has some neurological things going on right now. If you want to wish him well, I know it's has to do with motor skills, but he's getting the best medicine and the best treatment. And I don't know. We wish him well.
Are we doing a promo right now?
No, we just, you know, we want to wish him well.
100%.
My favorite spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity you get. Wow, how have I been living like this? It's kind of like when you find out that you've been paying a fortune for wireless. When Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month, when you purchase a three-month plan, more like, wow, how have I been affording this? It's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. We use Mint Mobile at the office, and we have been saving so much money since switching over, and setting up on Mint Mobile's website was super easy. To get this new customer offer and your new three-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/bears. That's mintmobile.com/bears. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/bears. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 months plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. He's at the, I don't want to say the name of the clinic, but it's top tier, and I think he's probably going to be fine. And if he's not, you know, you're a great guy, and you have a great family. Sitting in for him today is a buddy of mine who has a new special that's out right now on Netflix. It's called Crazy Good. Give it up for Neil Brennan, everybody.
Yeah.
Couple of guys that wear glasses. You know how
couple
it is.
Couple of real regular guys.
I will say this. I think this is the blackest haircut I've seen on you.
This, you know what?
With
can
the
I
line.
Get, see my single?
Yeah. Come
okay.
on, man. You remember.
So, do you think, all right, well, this
wait,
is.
Wait, turn a little.
There we go. I'm number three in the haircuts.
Yeah.
Do you think white people had this before they interacted with black people? Do you know what I mean? Like cultural appropriation.
Right.
And then I go, well, did it? So it's impossible white people thought of this?
No, it's, I mean, it's not impossible. But what I remember is that in the 90s, right? When you're like, man, this music's pretty fucking cool. That you started to see white guys doing like, you know, fades and shit that I don't really remember before.
Yeah.
So it's almost like, there's like a timeline. It's like before Christ and after, right? Like there's, it kind of feels like.
It's a perfect analogy.
It feels like.
But I do have a scar, so they just continued it.
Oh, is that a scar?
It starts as a scar here, and then it becomes cultural appropriation.
But it looks great.
It looks pretty cool.
It looks cool.
I got to say. And like, a black guy pitched it, a black barber.
He pitched it to you?
Yeah.
I mean.
Do you know what I mean? So what am I going to, I'm going to thwart a black man's dreams?
Yeah, you shouldn't.
No.
And if I saw you, I didn't know you, I just saw this, I'd be like, yeah, this dude can ball for sure.
This
man.
Guy can ball. Yeah, or he makes beats.
Yeah.
Or he sells like you sneakers.
He's the quiet beats guy.
Yeah. You're like a John B, maybe a R&B. Yeah.
You have your little briefcase that you come around. What's in there? You're like, beats, man.
Come on, man.
I keep beats in my briefcase, bro.
Mm-hmm. Fuck you think? I brought... guys, you can go on AI and you can load in Bert audio.
Oh, that'd be so nice of you.
Yeah. So
because
I went
here.
In, I loaded some Bert audio and
please.
I brought some of it. Here you go.
Last month I got so hungry I ate and drank my own shit and diarrhea.
For instance.
That is.
I want to talk about me. I want to talk about me. It doesn't have to be funny or interesting, but it does have to be about me.
Is that.
Those are just quotes from the show? What is that from?
No, this is...
That's AI.
Oh.
My poopy dog enter.
Here you go.
Honestly, be honest. What do you think will explode first, my heart or my liver? Tough to guess, right? Go on DraftKings right now and bet using promo code BERTCAST. Spoiler alert, it's going to be my asshole.
Dude, AI
there's more where that came from.
That's pretty good.
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
it's pretty dangerous. You load in audio clips of Bert.
Yeah.
And then you can type in whatever you want. So if I'm going to bring the app up and you we'll let Tom do it. And
this is very exciting.
And we'll go from there.
Couple things. This is also the best I've never seen. I don't think your biceps. You have really nice arms. Look,
you know
that.
What? This is a bit of an unveiling.
Yeah, it is.
Look here today. I don't have a reputation for being healthy.
Yeah, but look, I mean, you're vascular. You're
thank you.
Have you been lifting?
I have a, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, whatever. Yeah, I do this shit. I go to the gym. Are you still?
Yeah. Yeah. Great. Yeah. I'm still, still getting after it. Still work out with a trainer. It's good.
Type in whatever you want and then it will say it. Mm-hmm. As Bert Kreischer.
Okay, pretty good. Okay, let's see.
It has to generate it.
Okay.
And then once it generates it, hit play.
Hitler is God to me. I know I'll see him soon.
Yeah. One more time.
Hitler is God to me. I know I'll see him soon.
That's so he loves Hitler and he's gonna die soon.
I don't know, man.
Or Hitler will come to him. Hitler will appear on Bird on the Birdcast.
He might rise.
Great.
I don't know.
Yeah, fantastic.
I mean, I didn't do this AI. You know what I'm saying?
This is not. I mean, this you would never say. This is like dealing with when a dummy is like, "Hey, take it easy." So like when his when he's like the dummy says something controversial. Yeah. You're like, "Hey, there's nice people here, dummy." Bird AI.
And the dummy's super racist. Yeah, like, yeah. Yo,
you ever see Otto and George?
Yes.
Yeah,
that's shit the was one. Look hilarious. That was hilarious. Mm. Well, I want to tell you before we get anywhere else, congratulations.
Thank you very
on
much.
The special.
Thank you very much.
This is the third.
This is my third Netflix. I have an hour and a half on Comedy Central, now 3.5 on Netflix.
But this means you're very special because they are doing far less specials now on Netflix.
Only one a week, one and a half a week.
And well, you're going to see them, but they're going to fade down. That's what
I know. They're,
and you're a special guy.
I made the cut.
You made the elite cut.
The elite.
And you just had Blocks. I feel like
Blocks came out November a year and a half ago. So I'm doing pretty good.
You're doing pretty good. How
now,
are you?
You're a strike while the iron's hot guy. Although we've talked about how often a person should release schedule. Like what do you think the right cadence is?
I've changed on that.
Okay, great.
Well, I think we all saw for a minute, it was like guys like Patton and Louis were like, every year I throw out my shit. And then if you're like this developing comic, you go like, oh, I guess I have to do that. Like,
right.
I guess. And you try to do it. And then you're just trying to like, whatever you can generate, fucking just crank that out and just put it out. And then I actually feel like it was the last, because of the pandemic and everything getting kind of paused for a minute. And then staying out there touring where you're like, oh, letting this stuff marinate and grow and then working it, you go, you naturally drop a few things.
Yeah.
You add things. And then stuff.
By the way, probably a thing that you would have sworn by. Like, no, that's a fucking
that's really
good
funny.
Bit.
Listen to him.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
No, it's a great bit. And then you realize like, oh. You know
but
what?
It was the time that made me realize it. So like,
how long was your last tour?
The tour lasted like 2 years.
And how badly did it damage your family?
Pretty good.
Yeah. Pretty good.
Great. Well, the thing is, that's everyone's asking me like about this tour. And I'm like, I'm so much happier. And the big reason is that the pace is so much more digestible. Like, so on the last tour, I would leave like Monday night or Tuesday morning and do shows Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah.
Fly home, come here for like 24 hours, record 2 or 3 podcasts, and then leave. And I was doing that every week for almost 2 years. And I also was like, yeah, but this is how it is, Neil. The fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah.
And then you don't even realize that like you're doing it.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Yeah.
And so I just was like, hey, I can't do that ever again.
So what is it now?
So just so you know, like on average on that last tour, I would do like 20 to 23, 24 shows a month. And now, like, because I announced, the funny thing is, like, I announced a tour and people were like, Jesus, you hate being home. And I'm like, count how many shows that is in a month. Now sometimes it's like 6, 8 shows,
great,
9 shows a month. And so it's like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, typically, fly home, a week off, maybe 2 weeks off, do it again. So what I've noticed is that on this tour, I get home, I go settle into life, I'm at the house, I come here. And by the time I go out again, I'm super excited to go out. Like, I was so jazzed to go out this weekend. And that actually is a huge difference on stage. Like, it's this thing where maybe an audience, you go, they don't know. Yeah, they don't know the details of that. But there's something about you
that is a weird thing.
Coming out when you're excited.
You know when you first do a bit?
Yeah.
And it's fucking crushing?
Yes.
And you're like, I can't. And then after about 3 weeks, it goes down to like the level it's going to go down. If you do, if just do it less.
Do it less.
And it'll that like what 3 weeks will last longer.
Well, the thing was that last tour, things started to feel like we got to just get through this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's supposed to be fun, man.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be fun. And on this tour, I think with the way that we have it lined up, it's I'm having so much fun doing the actual shows.
And you could probably, so the tour could be longer.
Yeah.
Calendar-wise.
Calendar-wise, it'll probably be longer, but it won't be nearly as many.
It'll still damage your family.
But, like, the kind of stuff where you go, well, here's a gift.
Yeah.
You know, like, I bought
What kind
this.
Of military school do you want to go to, son?
Yeah, dude. Like, you're going to have a cool motorcycle at 16. Yes, you can have one.
Yeah. At least one.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? I am having a great time with the Pick 6 app. There are so many different things you can get in on: rebounds, assists, steals, blocks, points scored. And all you're doing is deciding whether you think a player will have more or less than that stat. It's a lot of fun, and a lot of fun to get into a different way of having fun with sports betting. Pick your personal favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using the code BEARS and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks only on DraftKings Pick 6 with the code BEARS, BEARS. The crown is yours.
One offer per new customer. First qualifying pick set winnings less entry fees must generate negative number. Max reward up to $200 equal to amount of negative number. Issued in non-withdrawable Pick 6 credits valid for Pick 6 use only. Expire after 180 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 and over in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Is your beer fridge feeling a little empty? DoorDash is your door to beer without the run. Whatever drink you're in the mood for, they've got you. Order your alcohol with DoorDash today and drink in the savings. Use code BEARS24 to get 25% off up to $15 value on a $35 minimum subtotal on your next alcohol order for eligible users only. I mean, sometimes you just don't feel like running out. You just want to stay comfortable in your own place, or maybe you're at a friend's place and you're like, I wish we had something else to drink. Well, now you can get it. The alcohol selection on DoorDash is top shelf. With thousands of stores all over the country, you're sure to find what you're looking for and more. Beer, wine, mixers, mocktails, and more can be delivered straight to your door. Save up to 25% off up to a $15 value when you spend $35 or more with the code BEARS24. So, whether you're grabbing drinks for an event or staying in for the night, DoorDash is here to help you have a great evening any evening. Terms apply. Must be 21 or older to order alcohol. Drink responsibly. Delivery and promotions available only in select markets.
And, okay, great. So, my question is, do you care? Do you feel like you had to make that much money before you were like, oh, okay, let me, now I can chill a little? Like,
I feel like... It's this, It wasn't even about money. It was like the stupid competitiveness we get into of like, yeah, but I can keep doing more. I can do more. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like let me do more markets and let me add more show. Like it was the adding of like, but I can, it's like saying like, can you do another push-up? And you're like, no, I keep going.
I could. Yeah.
And so you're trying to like, you know, you're trying to, you think it's important to see the number of things go up. And then when you're done, you're like, the fuck am I doing? What am I doing? And now I do not care. I literally don't care who does the most of anything.
It's also just like, let Kevin Hart have it.
He can have it. Yeah. He can have it. On his 4 hours of sleep every night, where you're like, what are you doing? I don't know how
you're
doing.
Dude wakes
this.
Up, does a promo.
Yeah.
His wife wakes him up in the middle of the night and he does like, enter Chase.
Somebody told me like for movies, they're like, yeah, he will shoot a movie Monday through Thursday and then take a plane and then do gigs and then fly back Sunday night to be ready to shoot Monday morning. And I'm like, okay, this is a whole fucking, I don't know what's going on. Like that's just... It's insane. And then, but by the way, it's not just the movie and the stand-up, plus the 40 other endeavors
he has. I've directed some of his Chase commercials.
Yeah.
So I'm shitting on a person that I'm not even shitting on. I'm just like, I've benefited from it.
Well, we all know he's a machine. Yeah. Like he's the real machine. he is though.
Yeah.
He's like.
Oh, you know why? Because did you see that documentary about him on Netflix?
I didn't actually.
I'm shocked. He grew up really poor.
Uh-huh.
Like fucking like cartoon cutaway poor of like a dilapidated row house in Philly. And his mom, to keep him safe, his mom would just schedule the shit out of him.
Okay.
So it was like debate, swimming, work, homework. What all the clubs he was like, just all the sports clubs, whatever.
Occupy
so,
your time.
So he just does that on his own.
That actually makes a lot of sense.
I know it does. Once I heard it, it was like, oh, I'll never shit on his like need to do shit constantly again.
Cause it's what he knows basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I feel like here's the thing I'll say. You have to figure it out yourself. So like I, you know, for me, like, it's like we talked about this when I did Blocks, but it's like, you know, I can give this speech to a guy that's about to do what I did, and he's not going to be like, that's a good point. I think I will cut down my tour.
You know something, mister?
yeah. You're a lot wiser than me, and I see, no, you just have to do it yourself, man. You have to go like, oh, yeah, that did suck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it didn't prove anything.
I didn't prove anything, and I did not feel like, oh, now everyone knows.
How many people do you think come to that conclusion, though? Do you know what I mean? Like, how often do you learn something? How often do you learn and change?
That's a good question.
Because I recently have gotten to a place of like, I'm less ambitious, not less ambitious, but I'm less like, they think, and all like the narratives you tell yourself. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, I don't listen to it anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I've just gone like, no, I'm not listening to that.
You can't. Here's the best thing you can do is actually know what's going on, but just live in your own world. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm out doing my own thing. I have my family. I have my work. And the more that you, I think, are present in your own stuff, the less you even catch of what's going on outside of you.
Yeah.
You know, like you hear, like you can get, everyone's been in that mode where you're like looking.
Yeah.
Well, what's he doing? What's he doing? That usually means, though, that you're probably not super into what you're doing. If you're so caught up in like everyone else's stats and what
it
they're
is,
doing.
It, yes, and it's a good motivator.
Yeah, well, you go, I need to do some shit.
Yeah.
But if you are lost in what you're doing, like you're really like in your work, things are happening that are going past you. You're not even aware. You're not even aware. And that's the best place to be, where you're like, oh, I didn't know. That's great. Good for you.
Yeah, good for the. And also that you're not... competing directly with people, or it's like just a waste of time.
You can't,
and also like, what do you want? But it's hard to remember, like, what do I want?
Yeah.
What do I actually like?
Do you ask yourself that?
I really do try to ask myself that. Like, where I'll, what am, just figuring out, like, what do I like doing? Mm-hmm. Like, what? You're pretty good with that. Like, it seems like you're good with like hobbies and shit and cars and all that shit.
Yeah.
Whereas I realize I just like watching documentaries and walking.
You're getting good at that, though. I saw you walk in.
Thank you so much. you guys, they didn't film it, but it was pretty great.
It was a good walk. We have it on security camera. Yeah,
great. What did I say? Watching documentaries already? I don't like doing shit.
You like to travel?
Kind of.
I mean, you're a single guy?
Or, no, not anymore.
Not anymore, but yeah. Okay, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
What's his name?
She's a British woman,
uh-huh.
And she's a therapist.
Oh, Jesus.
So, pretty healthy.
Wow.
Bert has a thought about it, if you'll slide on my phone real quick.
Sorry.
No problem.
Yeah.
Bert had some thoughts about it, if you'll just wait here. Yeah, British woman therapist.
You want to know how poorly I understand Neil Brennan? Last week, I asked Neil if he and his British therapist girlfriend would want to drive out to the valley, crack open a bottle of white wine, and jump in the hot tub with me and Leanne. Can you fucking imagine that nightmare for him? My double-wide fungus-riddled fucking feet intentionally accidentally grazing his beautiful girlfriend's silky British thighs. Fuck. He'd probably rather talk about Chappelle's show for the 1,000th time.
So, there you go.
Sorry.
There you go. Did you fart?
I did. It was. I'm sorry. I think it was Bert's voice.
Yeah, no, it was contagious. It's a laxative, Bert's voice. British. So I don't really like doing stuff. And I had to convince her, like, I don't like doing stuff. She'd be like, well, let's go. I'd be like, I don't want to.
But here's the real question. How long have you been dating each other?
Over here.
What's her response? I think this is everything. What is her response to you being like, I don't want to do this and that?
I think the natural female response in my life has been like, you don't want to do it with me.
Uh-huh.
But she's realized like, no, you don't want to do it at all.
Uh-huh.
And now she finally admitted she doesn't like doing stuff either.
There you go. And that's why you're here.
That's why we got a couple.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's been great. And it is occupying in terms of time and shit.
Yeah, that's the thing about couples, I think, is like, if someone's like, my favorite thing is to go explore, and like, if the other person's like, fuck yeah, then you're like, this is a great match. But you have great explorer versus like, I like to lounge.
No, it's going to not work.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
Because you're going to resent each other.
That 100%.
And it's over. Yeah. Like, you and Christina, what do you like? You like watching documentaries?
I mean, we are like a lay around,
yeah,
like lounge type. We're not like, I don't want a lot of plans.
Yeah.
And that, so like, as far as just, you know, the energy of the person, like what you're about, it's that part, you're a match. Like,
yeah,
we can just, even if we take a trip, it's like, we can go take a trip and like not have plans, just hang out.
Yeah.
That's fun. That's enjoyable.
Yeah.
And yeah. Put on something, and like, we don't always watch the same, but she'll be like, whenever she goes to bed, she's like, put on some murder for me to fall asleep to, because she knows I'm gonna watch like either some true crime doc or some scripted movie that is like heinous and insane. Yeah. And she's like, yes, I'll drift off to one of your deaths. But that's there's a way that is actually working, right? And so,
are you glad she's a comic? Meaning, is that helpful in terms of like, you're knowing what you're like?
1,000%. I mean, I remember early on, because I was a young comic, and people would go, you know, you just hear people say, and I don't even know what they mean at first. They're like, oh, one thing you never want to do is date a comic. And I was like, oh yeah, of course.
Yeah, they're the worst.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, definitely. I mean, we are. So why would we want to date one? I mean, I didn't even understand it.
Yeah.
And then it was, you know, people had these horror stories about, I mean, some of it was that they would date a comic and then break up, and then they have to see that person.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, that makes sense. But,
and you knew you would never break up with Christina no matter what.
No, I was like, oh, this to me makes sense in terms of the fact that when you're doing something and the other person knows exactly what it is that you're doing. Like, they get everything.
Yeah.
Oh, I got to go do another spot. They're not like, why are you going to do spots?
Yeah.
Or, you know, we would, there was a time when we would both leave. We were living in LA. We'd both leave Wednesday because you had to get there for a Thursday morning press and do the weekend and fly back Monday. And we would have our 48 hours together and then we would both split again. That was like, we were both doing that 3 to 4 weeks every month. But I mean, I thought it helped. Imagine if she were home that whole time.
Mad.
Yeah, like, why are you keep doing this? It's like, yeah, this is the gig.
Well, does the separation now help? Do you think separated? Because my girl's from England, so I wasn't seeing her that much.
Yeah.
And I think it gives more lifespan to the connection and the relationship, so it's not all spent.
There's that factor. The other thing that I realize now, especially, I recognize it more when I see it in her, is that when you have kids and you have your home life, how much a weekend of gigs for her is so good to like go leave the kids, get away, do the thing you love, which is stand up.
Yeah. Not like, kids.
Not kids. Ugh. You don't love the kids. No. You love this job.
Mm-hmm.
No, but like, you know, go have fun, go recharge. Don't have the responsibilities. Yeah. And then when she comes back, it's just like, she's gone like 2 days and I see it. She's like, that was the best. And you're like, okay, so you need, like, you have to have this too. So we trade in that thing. You leave, you do your work, come back, and everybody like feels better.
Yeah, great. Yeah, I don't. She's we're figuring out like you know where to live and all that shit. But yeah, I'm confident it's gonna work.
We have to take a quick break. Okay. I have to go to the bathroom.
Okay.
Okay. Sorry.
Is that the farting thing?
The fart definitely
was a harbinger.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social batteries and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. That's right. It happens to all of us. What's the right amount of time for socializing for you? How much do you need to recharge? Maybe you thrive around people like myself, or maybe you need some more time alone like my buddy Tom Segura or my wife, Leanne. I tend to surround myself by those people, and it makes sometimes relationships a tad bit more complicated. Look, therapy can give you self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery and doesn't make you create this large wake to drain other people's batteries because you talk about it in therapy. What makes Leanne thrive is sitting on the porch reading a book. What makes me thrive is finding a cool bar, meeting a bunch of people, having a good time. It's not her vibe, but we've talked about this in therapy. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/bears today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/bears.
Hello, I'm Johnny Knoxville.
And I'm Elna Baker, and we have a new podcast. It's called Pretty Sure I Can Fly.
Yep, we've teamed up with my friends and barmates from Smartless to create a podcast where we talk to folks who have more balls in a bowling alley.
People who accomplished something extraordinary despite people telling them that it couldn't or shouldn't be done.
You'll hear stories about the Air Force doctor who buckled into a 600-mile-per-hour rocket sled and became the fastest man on the planet.
And a man who wrestles alligators and sharks for fun.
Do not do this.
You'll hear about a foul-mouthed moonshiner.
Got a 2-inch dick and a 6-inch tongue and knows how to use both of them.
And an even more foul-mouthed female stunt pilot. We got bull riders.
Balloonists.
Bobsledders.
And big wave surfers. People who lay their balls on an anvil and hand the other fella the hammer.
Okay. I bet you've actually done that, Johnny.
Maybe for sweeps. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app
or wherever you get your podcast.
You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
And we're back. Great. You don't mind going to the bathroom not at home?
No, I don't mind. I mean, I obviously prefer it.
Sure.
Also, like, you know, you're having a meal at the hotel restaurant and you have to go to the bathroom. I'm like, yeah, I'm going up to the room. I'm not going to use the one down here.
Yeah, why would I?
Wait, what?
Does anyone question you on that?
I mean, it just had come up before. Like, I've, you know, they're like, why don't you just go here? I'm like, because my room's upstairs.
Yeah, because I want to get my computer and put on my shit outfit.
Yeah.
My shit jacket.
I have a friend that would get completely naked.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, he got he would get completely naked every time he had to go.
And it just seems like he started that way and couldn't. I'm assuming it's a guy, because I feel like a woman wouldn't.
1,000% a guy. Yeah, there's no woman who's like, I always get naked to shit. Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah.
I don't like an off campus. I think lifetime.
Yeah.
I think I'm under 5. Lifetime.
Lifetime?
I mean it's 5 or less.
You look like someone who goes in a very healthy way. Are you very healthy?
You'd be surprised.
Really?
Not as healthy as
I'd like to see some footage.
Yeah. I just don't like leaving. I just don't want to be in a stall. I can figure it out.
You can.
I'll just wait. Yeah.
Have you ever shit on a plane?
Oh, here's, you know what? I haven't. Oh. But I did. All right. I was in Hong Kong. First time I ever went to Hong Kong.
Mm-hmm.
And I stayed at like a nice hotel.
Shout out to Sam's Taylor and shout out to New Punjabi Club. Keep going.
Fantastic. And there's a Shangri-La maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Nice hotel. And ate a meal first night and then went to sleep. And middle of the night, kind of.
Feel a tug? A
little something.
Mm-hmm.
Ended up shitting the bed.
Really?
Yeah.
How does that happen?
Carelessness.
You went
I just thought it was a fart.
Oh, okay.
And then it ended up, and then I was kind of like, well, I can squeeze, whatever.
Was it a little thing that
came out? It wasn't like a huge, but it was.
It was like, I can't just ignore that and go to sleep.
No, I did, though.
You did? You did.
I shouldn't have, but I did.
You're just like, I'm going to sleep.
And I woke up the next day, because I was kind of in the middle of the night, so I didn't know. And it had gone into the mattress.
Wow.
And then, so then the next night, I'm like, I've never had food poisoning.
We're not
so I'm
doing
like, I'm
that
good.
Again. Yeah.
I'm good. Did it again. Into the mattress. A second stain into the mattress. And...
This is when you switch rooms, right?
I had to leave the country.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I didn't even know what to do because I didn't want to call. It's like, do I just not say anything?
Well, that's
what I'm
saying.
I crumpled it up. I think I tried to do like the wet wipes and I'm not banned.
So wait, in the morning after the first one, you don't call housekeeping? Be like, we got a little situation.
I don't think I did. This is like the first 48.
Yeah, yeah.
Taking shit.
Yeah,
shit to bed.
It's like, look, I know. Look, I know. I know you love your mom. Okay.
No, I didn't call nobody. I don't even. I didn't take that shit.
Mm. I've been there, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there.
So yeah. So I don't like. I have a pretty stellar record in terms of public shitting.
I feel like now I am just completely at the. And I wasn't always like this, where it's like. If I'm anywhere and I'm like, I got to go, I'm like, then I'm going. Like, there's no, I'm just, the thing that has changed my whole life is that I have a washlet, you know, the Toto washlet.
Yeah, I have one. Yeah.
And then when you leave.
By the way, you can get cheaper ones for way less.
You can.
The washlet's like $1,000 or something.
Yeah, yeah.
There's ones that are like $99.
Yeah, though. Yeah. Like Tushy, I think is what the brand. But when you leave. And the first time you don't have that, you're like, I'm an animal. This
it's
is
like
disgusting.
Fucking like a, you're like a peasant.
And then Jeff Tate is the one who, we do the road together a lot, and he always has the flushable wipes with him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is genius. And he's like, yeah, dude, just go buy a pack
Where
of these.
Where they sell these?
He's like, they sell them fucking everywhere. And every time I see him, I'm like, do you have those
Damn it.
Wipes on you? And he's like, yeah. Do you need some? I go, yeah.
Yeah, you know I do.
And he's like, why don't you carry these? And I'm like, I can't remember.
Yeah.
Like, but they're so cool.
Yeah. There's also a portable Tushy, I think.
I got one of those as a gift, and I was like, great. Yeah, I don't know. You're just not going to
do it. Because also, how do you carry it? Like,
but flushable wipes?
Yeah.
Game changer, too.
Also, I don't know if they are flushable. Are they flushable?
Some of them say it on there.
Okay.
It says like these are, because I guess they're made with a different thickness to it or something.
Yeah, sure.
Here's the thing. Don't even doubt it. Just get them.
Yeah.
Get them. And especially if it's not your toilet, right? I mean,
it's not, yeah. Take it from me.
It's someone else's pipes.
Yeah. It's someone else's mattress.
It's a Shangri-La. I can fix it.
Have your fucking, they're covered.
They'll get another mattress. Yeah, they don't care. Fine.
Oh, you've been, did you do more of the ayahuasca?
Did I do that again? No, I didn't do ayahuasca. I did, I got connected to,
yeah,
the people who do the retreats and all that. I haven't signed up for it. No. Right. I mean, it's just been too hard to schedule too. But the guy was like, come to this thing with like 20 people. And I was like, nah.
See, I'm with you, but you can get a lot out of it. I mean, it's something interesting about, no one's going to care that you're like, no one cares about that. Yeah. But I get that it's like, ah.
Yeah. I was like, how about a private? And he was like,
yeah,
you can do it, but I think you'll like the group more. And I was like, I think I'll like the private.
Have you seen my work?
I was give me the private. He's like, it's expensive. I was like, man, what do you got? Let's see what it is.
So, what's expensive to you? Yeah. No, just like, give me a taste.
Let me see what you're talking about.
Any other drugs for you?
Drugs wise, there's so many people in the health and nutrient and supplement world.
Yeah.
That now, like, somebody gave me, they're like, oh, you should take this in the morning. I'm like, what is it? They're like, it's like mushrooms. And I'm like, but it's like packaged as like, get your day started.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. I've been taking those from time to time. Those are good.
Great.
I really loved this drug, Vyvanse, I think it's called.
Yeah.
It's like a version of
Adderall.
Adderall.
Yeah.
And my doctor, I keep going like, what about now? And he's like, nope. He's like, nah. And I go, why? He's like, there's too much cardiac risk. And I'm like, my heart's fine. I'm fine. And he's like, yeah, no, I can't because I don't feel comfortable with it. And I'm like, what if I just did it anyway? And he's like, no. So he keeps shooting it down.
How much did you do it?
I just did it once. And I was like, this is the best. I was
Was there anything cardiac-y about it?
Not at all. No.
But it's just the risk.
He just goes by, I know there's a risk and I don't want to put you in that position. And I'm like,
if you hired a person like a organ guy?
Yeah.
Like just to pay him $100,000 a year and you have dibs on his organs.
Oh yeah. What about the staff?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, guys. What do you
Yeah.
Who's the first? He looks good.
What? Would you like to be an organ donor?
Organ donor?
Yeah.
I think I'm going to have to pass.
Okay.
Loyal. Go ahead.
I'm an organ donor. I got my little sticker on.
But I'm saying, like, you work, you are expressly for, you can't give them to anybody else.
Yeah, they're for me.
Oh, but, organ donor to YMH.
Well,
not everyone under the umbrella. No. They're just to Tom.
And if I run into a problem, you know, we take it.
Organ donor.
Yeah.
Just to Tom.
Yeah.
Just to Tom's pocket. Yes, boss. This sounds like a good idea. I'm on board.
All right. Cut the mic. So.
I buy it.
Yeah.
That felt genuine to me.
Yeah, I guess. And there's that thing, too, where, like, when your doctor expresses that, you're kind of like, come on, man. But then
you're like, are you fucking cool or not?
Yeah.
What's and up? But by the way. They sell it in Mexico, like over the counter, like in the store.
Mexico's real close.
It's awfully close. Yeah. It'd be a real shame.
They sell that there?
Vyvanse? Yeah. I bought it there.
Now, do you like it?
What do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're going to write.
It's great for everything.
Oh, this is what I was going to ask you earlier because of the wonderful app you were using.
Mm-hmm.
Do you, because the first thing I think of with you is actually writing.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first thing that like everybody was talking about when the writer's strike started. They're like, yeah, there's genuine concern about AI. I had lunch with a movie producer and I jokingly was like, or we could have AI write it. He's like, actually, he goes, it's not that bad. He's like, it's pretty good.
What's sad is they're going to have to. The AI is going to need a human overlord.
Uh-huh.
Like, it would take like you say AI, write an action movie, whatever. No, the funny thing is, I was talking to Jimmy Carr about it, and I said, like, are you worried about AI? And he was like, not at all. Mm-hmm. And then he said, a friend of mine tried to AI some Jimmy Carr jokes, and it said it couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did it, and I sent him the jokes, and I sent him 5 jokes. He goes, I would do 3 of these.
Yeah.
Like, there are, if you have a certain kind of joke, AI can hack the sort of formula.
The other part to that is that, let's say these are like not great. We're also in like version 1 of this shit. Like 5 years from now, you don't think it's going to be like unbelievably better?
Yeah.
Like by leaps and bounds, it's going to be so much better.
The question becomes, well, I think you should be able to hire or whatever, buy AI, enter your body of work into it, and then own whatever it generates.
Oh, that's interesting.
Like that, I think would be kind of useful. Like that shit with like a Drake song.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm Drake, I'd be like, yeah, see what he can do.
Yeah.
And then if I like it, I'll redo it or something.
Or that's what I was going to say. What if it gives you something where you're like, this isn't something I would put out, but I can work with this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm betting people are close to doing that.
Yeah.
The issue becomes there's going to be need of human overlord to like examine it and then decide what's usable or not. And then eventually they're going to get replaced.
Yeah.
My question with AI is no one's going to work, all that stuff. Everyone gets put out of work. How are they going to sell shit to people that don't have any money? Do you know what I mean? Like, if no one's working, if no one has an income, then I'm not going to be able to buy whatever the AI is generating.
Right.
So there's going to have to be some sort of...
It's just going to take everyone's work? You're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Or, and then, so it'll just either... I mean, society's going to probably collapse in the next 10 years anyway.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
But it's just a matter of
do
like...
Do as many specials as you can.
Do what you can. But so it just figuring out like what is the... I have no fucking idea. It's one of these things where I'm like, I can't even picture it.
Yeah.
Cell phones, you could see like it'll be a computer on your whatever.
Yeah.
That shit. But this is like, I have no, but I've heard people be like, the Jimmy Carr joke thing was like interesting. They were pretty good jokes.
And how did you feed it?
I said jokes about social media in the style of Jimmy Carr.
And then it just gave you
and
stuff.
Just gave me, gave me 5 jokes. And it wasn't. And it's.
I would use 3 of these.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yours would be, you'd be harder, but they could probably figure out a version of it. It would be like the worst version of your worst fears about yourself.
Yeah. It's like, this is who you are.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically. Yeah. It would be like, this is who you are.
And you're like,
and you're like, well, no, but you know, there's some panache you guys are missing, but like, maybe not.
No.
So that's so I'm not worried about it. And the other thing is like, or I'm almost done anyway.
Sure. We only get a window in this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I'm,
I'm not at the beginning of it. So
no,
like just
no. So
give me
like
a little ride.
Pretty good so far. I've had a couple different jobs. Like I'll just, and then I'll be like, all right, we good. I need to keep doing this.
Thanks so much.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. That's kind of how I feel. Although I like the stand up part of it.
Yeah.
I like the stand-up part of my career.
Yeah, that's fun, right?
That's been, it's been significant. They've all been fun, but this part's fun. But like looking back when I'm like, just having done a bunch of shit, it's fun to have done a bunch of shit.
Yeah, dude, I know the special is out. I saw the clips.
Yeah.
It's very good, man.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah. It is funny, like, trying to get guys like you who knew me as a writer, me like,
no, it is. I know, but it's very funny. I mean, it's insightful, smart, really good stuff, really good jokes. I mean, the 3 that I saw were very, very good.
Yeah. What do you think? I have the joke about, they're turning to comedians now for like moral leadership.
It's hilarious because it's so spot on.
And it comes to transgender issues and they go, well, what do the clowns think?
Yeah, that's like,
why are you asking?
Who cares?
What the guy who played Rick James thinks about transgender? Like, what? Or why are you looking to Joe for for fucking vaccine.
It's you and so I, silly.
When COVID broke out, did you go, well, I better call Joe?
No. I called my cousin, who's an infectious disease doctor. I was like, hey, this is your field. Yes. If I want to know about how to choke somebody out, I'll call Joe. Yeah. That was. But that's how I go through everything.
Right.
I don't call you when I have a problem with my car. You know,
correct.
I call the mechanic and I'm like, what do you think's going on?
Yeah.
So yeah, the funny thing is that people are like, well, you should use your platform for this. And I'm like, no, I shouldn't. That's not the whole point of this.
Also, your platform would die within 6 months.
If you started
being like a responsible, that's not the point.
That is definitely not the point.
The point is to get misinformation out there.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've been so good with it.
And also, if you are, you know, like wanting something sincere and like virtuous and helpful, it's like, it's our whole thing is to mock that.
Yes.
Like, yeah. That's
fucking go to church.
Yeah.
Or go to wherever you need to go. But the fact that it's supposed to be, it's so weird.
Yeah, your pronouns are gay.
Yes.
That's what we do here.
Yes. You're not supposed to be respectful.
No.
And like, no, but affirming values and all that shit.
What's interesting too about, even like if you want to go after like, you know, any comic, Dave, anybody about it, it's like, there's also, you're forming your opinion about them in the thing that they do where they're supposed to not be respectful and polite and insight. Like if you have a one-on-one conversation over dinner with a comedian about these topics, then you're getting a sincere take on how they might feel. And then you can be like, oh, that's actually, but like once there's a microphone, the whole point is to be,
it's a different
silly
thing.
Inflammatory. Yeah. And actually you almost in a way try to just be the funniest disrespectful person you can be. Like that's what's
if
funny.
If it's the funniest thing you can possibly say, then fuck it. That's what you're supposed to say.
And then to report like, this is unbelievable that they did this. Really?
Yeah.
That the goofball was fucking goofing around?
Let me get this straight. The joke I used to make 5 years ago was like, so let me get this straight. Louis C.K., the guy who asked Donald Rumsfeld live on Opie and Anthony if he was a lizard person.
Yeah.
Ask Donald Rumsfeld, are you a lizard person? Uh-huh. That guy didn't do sex normally? Are you shitting me? Like, that goes to every one of these scandals, people, where it's like, no, every one of these comedians is kind of doing what they're supposed to do, other than the ones who broke laws. But, like, this idea that we're now, because you're popular, now you have to become like a member of the government or something. Or like
you could actually study this where when you see popular comedians then go, and now I will speak for society.
Yeah.
And be very serious about it. How everyone's like, oh, actually you're going to lose everyone.
Yeah.
Like the people who like you for being a comedian are going to be like, you're not being a comedian.
Yeah.
And then the people who are like, I wanted you to be like this, they're like, who the fuck are you?
Well, they don't like it anymore.
Yeah.
Say like that you were sort of, let's say Carlin is a good example of when people, George Carlin was just like, he fought for free speech. Yeah, but he was saying shit, whatever, all the shitty, the seven dirty words or whatever. And then Carlin later on had a bit that I mentioned when I was doing press the other day about anorexic girls where he's like, rich bitch won't eat, fuck her.
Yeah.
How's that for
it's not
like,
helpful.
No, exactly. It's not very nice or kind or like supportive of the community or whatever. But like was never supposed to be his job.
Yeah.
If you're doing the Daily Show or something like John was, but even he had, I remember, and he had like a thing where he used to go, I'm on after robots.
Yeah, yeah.
Why are you holding me to the standard? And then I think eventually he just accepted that he was kind of a moral leader.
Yeah, and he also, I think there's a thing with John specifically where he knows on a certain level that he just is smarter than most people.
Yeah.
He's a really smart guy. And then unfortunately for him, there is some responsibility with being really smart.
Yeah.
You know, like, because you have to go like, okay, well, I can tap out and be like, well, I'm fucking too dumb to understand this anyway.
Yeah.
But at a certain point, like when you really have a grasp of things, you have to, you know, you have to do something with that.
And it's also what his audience expects.
Yeah.
And because Trevor Noah's the same boat, Seth Meyers, John Oliver.
Yeah.
There's a few guys where you're kind of supposed to be like, but if they didn't want to do it, I would totally understand.
Yeah, for sure.
And yeah, like they're all like that anyway.
Yeah.
But I don't expecting other people to be like that.
No.
Is just because they're popular.
That's it.
It's like, well, Joe, you're popular. So now you have to become like.
I will say this about Joe. From the, when his popularity really exploded with the podcast, he's the one that always points out, like he'll say what he has to say, share his opinion. And then he'll be like, look, I'm a fucking weed smoking comic that loves fights. I'm a fight commentator.
I know. They always edit that part out.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's like, don't fucking listen to me.
Well, that's the thing. It's like Joe spread so much misinformation about vaccines. And it's like, yeah, but he also spread information about elk meat.
Yeah. I mean,
that didn't take off. Like he's espoused a bunch of shit that just didn't. It's they only take the shit that they
are. Joe is very authentic to who he is.
That's the thing. Yeah. He's not lying.
No, he is like that all the time.
Yeah.
This guy wakes up and takes the day, starts with a cold plunge, works out, does podcasts, does archery, does stand up, eats the elk, like all the things. Like that's really how he is. There's no days off really from any of this. And then he talks about it.
Yep.
And, you know, you can be like, I don't give a fuck. Or you can be like, I like all this, whatever it is. Like, that's one guy telling you exactly how he is.
Yes. And if he became like a mouthpiece for the NIH, it would all kind of be meaningless.
Kind of. Yeah.
It would just become like he's not there to read information. He's there to talk about elk meat.
Yeah. And he's naturally fighting. Like he's always been a skeptic and been like, huh, what's up with this? I don't fucking buy this.
Yeah.
Like always.
Yes. It would, but it used to be aliens and weed and all that shit.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I think they're making a comeback. I think the aliens are coming back.
Great. Yeah. So I just find the whole thing kind of stupid. And then I also do a bit that I didn't send you, but, about how I want like good mental health for people.
Yeah.
There's a big movement in sports now. I'm like, I want good mental health for everybody, but not athletes. I'm like, we need our athletes to be total psychos.
Yeah.
Like, did you watch The Last Dance? Yeah. Did Michael Jordan seem mentally healthy to you in the slightest?
He's so unhealthy.
He's out of his mind.
Yeah. All those guys are.
Yeah.
I should say this. All the elite ones that all you the go, greats. I want to be like him. Like,
no, you don't. LeBron said last week on his podcast with JJ Redick, in order to be great, you have to hurt your family.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or like something, or like hurt your loved ones or something. It's like, you sure do.
Yeah.
Every great anything, it's another bit, psychopaths and drug addicts.
Yeah.
Almost to a person.
And in sports where like you're competing with the most elite athletes, if you want to be at another level than they are, you're making crazy decisions.
Yeah. Lance Armstrong got a blood transfusion during a race.
Yeah.
Pulled over.
Yeah.
Got in a bus. New blood. Back on the bike.
Back on the bike. Yeah.
So, this idea of like, we need good mental health for everybody. It's like, no, you don't want it for inventors. You don't want it.
No.
And good work-life balance.
If you want to see greatness, you don't want them to have great mental health.
They're not gonna bother.
No,
they wouldn't. But they do other shit.
The other really funny thing you said is like when people are like, "Yeah, but is that person nice?" When everyone's like thing is, I think this person's talented, but are they nice?
And you're like, why do you? The joke in the specials is Ellen nice.
Yeah,
and the joke I wanted to say is, don't worry, you're never gonna meet her.
And if you are, it would be real brief.
Yeah. Yeah. And unless you're a $50 million house, you're never going to meet her. Cause those are the only kinds of houses she likes. But why they move the goalposts basically like you're talented. but are you nice? You're nice. But or and the other thing is like Sandler's very nice.
Yeah.
He couldn't get a good review for 30 years.
Yeah, exactly.
So what good did it do? And or Ellen's like a really helped gay people. A lot of good it did her when people started saying she wasn't that nice.
Yeah, that's true.
And also, how nice do you think, again, and Ellen is a fucking hilarious person. So yeah. Like, I'm not going to be like, but the idea that how nice do you expect, America wants to like marginalize people and then be like, you better smile when we bring you back.
Yeah.
Muhammad Ali.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't forget the fact that we like put you on ice for 5 years. When you come back, you better be nice and you better be kind and all that shit. It's just these unreal expectations for the wrong people.
It's true. And America does really like to go, we want to see this person really succeed. And we like to lift them up and they're like, that's enough.
Yeah.
And then make that person come down, shit all over them. And then they go, God, they're really down now. Let's bring them back.
Bring them back a little bit.
And hopefully they have a smile on their face.
When they do it. And you better be nice the whole time because we, and it's like, so why should I forget? And you're supposed to forget.
Yeah.
Which people can't, if you know people, they don't forget. So,
they don't.
So yeah, I'm like advocating for I don't know. Now the next thing is like, well, who should the leaders be?
Yeah.
Who should the leaders of society be at this point?
It's
because all the church and clergy people were fucking.
Yeah.
And then all the government people are corrupt.
The government people are. And that's who does get to lead.
Yeah.
And then the people who you go, I wish this person would be a leader. Like the person you really like, those people go, no, I'm way too aware to want to get involved in that mess.
Even if you made a board, right? Like made like a auxiliary board. Or like a supreme, a 5-person board of like how America should be. Who would you even put on it?
Yeah,
it's like because I've done this in my head, like Dolly Parton, that most people would agree on.
Yeah,
Dolly Parton,
Denzel.
For what?
Well, like he just seems like the wise, put together, kind of centered guy who. I go, that's how you're supposed to be as a man.
Like, yeah, I guess he's like a football coach. Yeah.
He feels like like the kind of man you go, that's how to conduct yourself.
Yeah, talented, educated, and like an ethical guy.
Yeah.
Obama? You think people on the right would take Obama in?
No. Okay. They wouldn't. They'd definitely take Denzel over him.
The Rock?
He's so popular.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And he has great branding. He has great branding.
John Stewart.
Yeah. Like, and here's the thing. If you're going to have John, you have to have, because people accept that he is super bright, you know, and a good person, but they're also like, hey man, this guy's a mouthpiece for the left. So you have to have almost an equal, who's equal to John on the right to create the balance? Kid Rock. Yeah.
You said it.
Yeah.
Kid Rock.
Yeah. You need the balance.
Yeah. Kid Rock. You need the balance. And then I've run out of people because everybody else is so polarized.
Yeah.
Dolly Parton's 70-something to like, she like kind of is too old to even be considered in the...
Right.
Taylor Swift, no.
And the funny thing about that is that everybody would be like, you know, I like this Dolly choice. And then she would voice something like, well, you know,
women,
trans
people
should do whatever. And then people are like, you fucking old dumb bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that's exactly the way people react.
So it's like, I don't know who's supposed to lead. And then is Joe supposed to be heroic or like patriotic? Be like, you know what? I will become... It's impossible now.
Yeah.
It's all impossible. There's no like World War II, everyone pitch in and like, let's...
Maybe that's what we need.
Is a war?
A world war.
Great. Go on.
Because what happens is like, you remember when 9/11 happened, people were already on, oh, Bush is a fucking moron.
Yeah.
And just your typical, whoever's in power, the other side just trashes, right? Yep. That's just the way things go. Mm-hmm. But when you have an event, a horrific event, like either a terrorist attack or a war, then everyone really does go, all right, we got to stick together, right? Yeah. And nothing like world, like when your nation is at war.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, man. I don't want to say that World War III is a great idea, but, you know, maybe it could help us out.
You don't want to say bomb. You don't want to say bomb us. You don't want to say that bomb.
No. I don't want you to bomb us.
No. But if they did.
But you're going to see some Americans come together.
Where would you suggest a Golden Gate Bridge?
San Francisco's a mess already.
Oh, right. Well, I wonder if they bomb San Francisco from America, be like, good.
So many people would.
No, I know. They
would. So many people would be like, fuck that place.
Yeah. If they bomb Dallas or something, they'd be mad.
Yeah. That would
Atlanta,
not be
Dallas,
cool.
Can't Phoenix.
Do that. No, yeah, don't do that.
Everybody would get on board. Certain cities, though, they would.
Yeah, certain cities. No. So it'd have to be an important, like a city where less gays.
Yeah. Like so that, what? The most hetero city.
Yeah, what's the most?
I think that
Pittsburgh.
Oh, there you go. Pittsburgh. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If they bomb Pittsburgh, America would be like, all right, we are coming together. Like, this is stop.
How dare you?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't really know where to go with, you know, where America's supposed to go.
It's funny that two clowns can't figure it out.
Yeah, I expected more from. I mean, we're kind. I don't know. I don't think we're supposed to, but we are. Think about the shit.
Yeah,
there's no answer.
Everything feels worse than it was.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. It's like things are bad, and you go, man, things are really bad, and they always get worse.
Yeah, I mean, people have been talking about this divide.
Yeah,
for years now, yeah. And you're like, yeah, it doesn't feel like it's healing.
No, social media made it worse.
Yeah, 1,000%
significantly worse.
Yeah.
Fox News and then social media. And I don't, are you on social media at all?
Yeah, but I have really, like, I don't post on 3 of the 4 that I have accounts on. The only one that I actively, because it's fucking pictures, is Instagram.
Yeah.
You know, like that feels like the most, oh, I can digest this, but I don't do Facebook. I don't do Twitter. I don't manage TikTok. Yeah. I don't, like, those things just go up without me.
Yeah. Me too. Yeah. It's too crazy.
It is too crazy. Every time you open
there
it,
was something
like,
kind of
fucking
fun about it for a little bit. And then it just became so quickly.
Twitter's so weird to me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, who's excited by this? When people are like, the usership is up, and I'm like, really? More people are doing this?
Yeah. I think that's a lie.
I don't think that's true.
Yeah.
I think the numbers they put out aren't true. And then you see people who cheerlead for it. I'm like, who's actually being like, God, I love it here. Like, they'll be.
Yeah. No, Nick, it's not
this
possible.
This is a place to be. And you're like,
can I check in with Bert real quick?
Yeah, let's see what he's doing. I want to hear if he has any thoughts.
You want to know how poorly I understand you?
I heard that.
Okay, let me explain to you people what my inner monologue is. Tell a story and I'll tell you what I hear. And begin now. Ooh. When is this going to be about Bert? Be about Bert. This is like school. It's so boring. And not school like Florida State. FSU is a pregame booze parking lot that sometimes holds classes. Graduating from FSU is like graduating from a mid-level grade school. People that have an FSU diploma on their wall might as well have a placemat from Arby's up there instead. Who gives a shit? When is this going to be about Bert? It's not about Bert yet. This sucks. Make this about Bert. Why do I call myself Bert instead of calling myself me? Because me is Bert. Oh, this sucks. Oh, God. Ooh, this sucks so bad. We got to get out of this. Okay, they just mentioned the city of Atlanta. Use that as a way to bring up your daughter, Georgia. Make up a story where you're driving with Georgia, and she says something funny that you clearly wrote, so you seem like a regular guy who loves his kids. Great. Your dad was wrong about you, Bert. You're like Tony the Tiger. You're... Great. Somebody's got a new closer. Tommy's going to be so jealous.
Wow, that was fucking... So he sent you voice notes before you came on today? Or...
No, I took his audio.
Wait a minute. You're trying to tell me...
Yeah, let me get this straight.
That's how good AI is? It's just...
All that.
Wow.
Yes. I did write it, but he...
Okay.
But that's his... yeah.
That's really great.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and we actually, that's fair because we had not spoken about him in minutes.
So no, he was he was going to fire everybody.
Right now, he was listening. He was like, this is the fucking most boring
episode. He loves this
ever.
Podcast.
And then right now, he was like, all right, just got good again. It just got good. Yeah.
And how's the rest of your life?
It's pretty good.
Great.
I can't complain.
Great.
Yeah. I think I'm in a pretty good spot right now. I mean, the tour is very manageable, like I said. I love coming here. I got some other projects like we were talking about. And yeah, that's stuff I've always wanted to do. So it's really fun.
Well, here's a question. What do you want? The thing you're doing, what are you trying to get from it?
To me, the fun thing, like what I'm most excited about, is I've actually always loved, you know, story, like writing stories, telling, I feel like they gave me a pass to be like, hey, well, you know how like in film school you get to go like, all right, now you get to make a film.
Yeah.
It's like, I feel like they are like, okay, go make some.
Great.
Go make some.
Great.
Here's a budget. Do whatever. They're like, do whatever you want. So that part is like really exciting.
Yeah.
Cause I've been through the development process a number of times, and I mean, I don't have to tell you, but it's a very fun and exciting process. And you always kind of, and the thing that sucks is you go, oh, when you get to the finish line, you're like, I'm making something that I don't want to make, essentially, in a lot of ways. And this feels like the time where they're like, no.
Yeah, what do you want to make?
And I go, I literally was like, this is what I want to make.
Yeah.
And they said, go ahead.
Yeah.
So that's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's literally, you just want to see it and put it out.
That's it.
Yeah. And let people enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
is it like, I'm going to redefine what they, it's none of that.
It's none of that. No, it really is this. I mean, it's essentially how I used, like, I thought of this when I was doing stand up early on. I got that whole thing in my head of like, no, what you're doing is you're saying, this is what I find funny.
Yeah.
You get on a mic, you go, this is what I find funny. And when they laugh, they're like, I get why I agree or I don't agree, right? They either laugh or they don't. And I feel like this project lets me go like, this is what I want to make. And people are either going to respond in a good or not. And I don't have the ambition of like, hopefully it breaks all the records.
Yeah.
You know, like it's just.
And the good thing about Netflix is like hard to even tell if it breaks records. There's none of that. Like it got a 17.9. No.
What happens though is you do end up having conversations where if you talk to certain people, they're like, yeah, that didn't do so well.
Oh, no, I know. That is fun when they're,
when
people, when like the big execs will let it slip.
They'll let it slip sometimes. Also, the surprise you get is sometimes you hear that about things you thought were big and they're like, that's not big. And you're like, oh, because you have no gauge for it.
Yeah. It was like on my algorithm crushing.
Yeah. They're like, that's not big.
Yeah.
Or the thing that you think, I guess that didn't do well. They're like, that's a monster. And you're like, okay. Nothing.
Let us know in the comments who you think didn't do good on Netflix.
I have a few I could ruin my relationship there.
Yeah.
Okay.
me as well.
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you in a second.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
But what
man.
About you though? Cause now you're like,
I don't, that's the thing I was saying. It's like, I love doing stand up. I love being able to like travel around and talk.
Yeah.
I always thought that was the coolest thing.
Yeah.
Even when I was making a TV show, right, Half Baked, Chappelle Show, I was always like, I did a movie. I directed a movie called The Goods, Piven, Will Ferrell, a bunch of people. And like the whole time I was like, not even like me, I should be doing that. I just thought that's the coolest. Richard Pryor doing stand up is better than his movies.
Yeah.
I guess Eddie's movies are better than stand up.
Better than his stand up?
Than his stand up, yeah. It's close, but like 48 Hours, Trading Places, Beverly Hills Cop, Coming to America, Nutty Professor, pretty good run.
Somebody told me, okay, I got to cut you off. They told me, we were talking about we were asked by non-comedians, and there was a bunch of us at this lunch, and one of them was a comedy movie producer who has produced a lot of big comedies. And they're like, what, give me like top five, the non-comedians were like, give me the top five comedies. And I was like, well, in no particular order, I was like, well, I definitely put Coming to America in there as like a, and then the guy goes, oh, I put Blues Brothers ahead of that. And I go,
Blues Brothers is minstrel.
I was like, no. And he was like, yeah. I go, you put it ahead of it? He goes, yeah, definitely.
Blues Brothers is a good movie.
Yeah.
Blues Brothers is like a good, it's fucking cool.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a cool, we're going to like, we got to help the nuns. It's like a fundraiser movie.
Sure.
And like, but going around getting a blues band, they got good people. The show, the songs are good. The sequences are good. And it does like the big chase at the end is like, there's a lot of good, cool ideas in it.
I think the problem for me with that, that I see in it now, isn't that I don't think that movie should be celebrated. Mm-hmm. It's more like you realize, oh, what is the one that I, you know.
Well, that comes down to like when you're born.
Exactly. Yeah. That's my point. It's like so much of that, like the Pryor thing, when people talk about Pryor, I always point out, I'm like, yeah, but I missed.
Yeah, generationally, it didn't change my
life. So I don't disrespect him.
Like Bring the Pain changed my life way more than Richard Pryor.
Exactly my point. I go that when you're, if you're at a certain age, you're just going to miss certain things. It's like the GOAT argument for sports.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, try to tell like someone our dad's age that like Wilt Chamberlain's not the best.
Yeah.
They'll be like, fuck off.
Yeah.
You don't understand.
Yeah.
It's like who you watched.
And it doesn't take long for it to turn over either.
No.
Like, because Brady's almost out now. It's like Mahomes.
Yeah, yeah. People forget quickly, man.
So I don't really, I just like doing stand-up, honestly. And I, the schedule of doing TV shows and that shit is hard.
Yeah.
It's like very hard. You might have a reasonable time with it.
I'm excited about that.
Just a 10-hour day?
No, like
or
how I set up the show.
Yeah.
We get to shoot it in Austin.
Yeah.
That's a huge deal.
It's huge, yeah.
And it's not, I mean, I can shoot it in not that much time, you know?
Yeah, it's going to look really shitty, just so you guys know.
Well, we're doing the whole show in a week.
Great. And a green screen?
Yeah, well, here. Right over here.
I love it.
Yeah.
And the other thing is like nothing I do is going to be as successful as that.
That's
Chappelle show. So it's like, ah.
That kind of is a relief in a way. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, no, just what I'm, so I can do something. People are like, no, okay, cool. I didn't think you'd like it.
Yeah.
So let me just walk around, do stand up. And
you're loving though doing stand up.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, it's the thing. We just talk.
Yeah, I know.
And people give you money for it.
It's very crazy.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It's crazy to get used to it.
Yeah. And it's crazy to get used to it. And it's crazy. Like you forget how rare it is. You forget how lucky. I mean, whatever, saying you're lucky is like overused at this point, but like really lucky. Like really, like you almost can't even talk about it.
Right. Because you're like, what's going to happen?
Yeah. Like, okay.
That's true.
So yeah, I just like doing stand-up.
So will you take, what is your thing now? Like, how do you do it when special comes out? You're like, okay.
I was like trying to rush an hour.
Yeah.
And then I realized like, there's no, this is not making me, I don't like this. I like them. It just was stressing me out. I was like forcing it. And I was like, I'll just put tickets on sale when I have a new hour.
So now you'll just go back to spots, right?
Yeah.
Figure it out.
Just doing spots at the store.
Try to figure out 5 minutes, 10 minutes.
Like. I got 20.
You got 20.
I have 20 now.
Now.
Like good 20. But you know, so when I have an hour, then I'll put it on sale. And it's like Jess Lennick does it that way, where it's just like, no, I'll just wait until I have the hour.
Yeah.
And then I'll assume that you'll know it's going to be good.
Yeah.
And then we'll go from there.
It's a pretty good system.
Yeah. But it does take a certain amount of faith in the audience.
Do you do the thing like when I get to like 40, I'll book a couple of clubs?
Yeah.
And I'll do a few nights.
Yeah. I've done that in Asia where I've had like 35, 40 and did like Tokyo.
Mm-hmm.
the club in Tokyo. There was one in, there used to be one in Singapore. I've done Bangkok, and it's great because you don't, it can be shaggy.
Yeah.
And they're so happy you're there.
That's cool.
Yeah. So I'll probably do that, and or like Hawaii, just somewhere not
less whites.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, just do it that way. And then I don't feel pressed in any way, kind of.
Yeah.
Which is a cool. It's weirdly like being like zero gravitational.
Yeah, because you get to work freely then if you don't feel like, oh man, I got to do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what did you do? Did you take time off, or you were here? I got off Joe's Club.
I got off in May of last year. Came home, was like, okay, comes out in a month or so. And then did exactly what we're talking about, spots, do a club weekend here. I did probably like, over the few months, I did a few Fridays.
Were you sitting on shit that you didn't put in the hour before that you were like, this could be a bit?
Oh, yeah, but only a couple. And then just started working that out. And then went from the clubs to, did a couple small theaters, did a big one, did some international dates, and then went into the like the big rooms. But you know, the time between the tour ending and like going to arenas was like 10 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And did you, and the, okay, so the tour ending, so not like the hour being, when did you, how about between filming and arenas?
Oh, so I filmed in November of the prior year. And yeah, and then the arena started a year later, or 13 months or whatever.
When you got, have you talked about getting heckled on the taping? Because I watched, you put the clip up, and yeah. I watched you. I couldn't, well, a similar thing happened to me on Three Mics.
Really?
Almost worse.
Yeah.
Telling a story at the end about my dad dying and all this shit. And the next door to the theater is a club, and music starts thumping.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, I'm gonna fucking kill someone.
Yeah.
I can't fucking believe this is happening. And I just was like, you can't, there's nothing you can do.
You can't. Yeah.
I just had to act like it wasn't happening.
I mean, I remember that I was, cause I did it in the round.
Uh-huh.
So you have that thing where you're kind of continuously slowly moving.
Yeah.
And so I'm walking here, and as I turn here, I'm still speaking, but my brain goes, I swear a guy was just waving at you, right? Like, there's no way, though.
Yeah.
And so I keep doing, right? I'm doing the circle, and when I come back the second time, he's like, and I'm just like, and I just stop. I go, are you waving? He's like, what's up, dude? And I go, what's up? He's like, fucking. And I go, we're at a taping. And he's like, yeah. I go, this is when you thought to do this? He goes, it is what it is. And then they threw them out. And that's the funny thing. Like, after the show, I'm like, what was up? They go, they did not understand why we were taking them out. And I was like, what? And he's like, they were like, what the fuck? And they're like, yeah, you're disrupting a taping. Like, there's,
yeah,
they're shooting this.
They're not, could you have ignored it?
I don't think so. Because it was, I mean, it might have been like, the third time where they were in the back row, but of the front part of this place. And yeah, I mean, it was too distracting.
Yeah. Right?
I was just like, I mean, they were literally going like, until I said, what's up? And they're like, what up, bro? I'm like, yeah, not much. Just this right now.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah.
And then the crew was like, yeah, we walked them out, and they were like, I don't get it. Why are we getting there? Like, 'cause we're at a taping. Like, you don't see how everyone's like just watching the show because we have to tape it. And they were like, I don't know, this is fucked up. Like,
yeah. And you can't explain to them like,
no,
what it means. And like, it's very distracting. Even if you get heckled, even if someone's making noise.
This is like trying to explain to somebody who, you know, when you land on a flight and they're like, yeah, yeah, we're here now. And you're just like, Jesus Christ, man. Like, you don't know.
Yeah.
That. You, there's a voice you use when there's other people around.
Huh?
They would be like, what? No, we landed. Yeah. So, and like, and they start talking full volume.
Yeah.
There's people who go like, oh yeah, you don't do that. And then there's people who are like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So those are those people. Mm-hmm. The people who just, it doesn't register to.
Yeah. They, and there's nothing you can do.
There's nothing you can do. You could explain it to them 10 times and they would be like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And those people are having great lives.
Yeah, they are. They're totally distracted by.
Yeah. They're not worried about anybody, or they don't, they just do shit their way.
Yeah.
And it's way better than thinking and being considerate.
The best is when I've been on flights where like you land and that exact thing happens. The person starts a crazy loud conversation and you can just look over at somebody who's like,
yeah, that feels nice.
Like, we're the same. I get it. I wouldn't do this either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's usually, yeah, I don't want to say what I was going to say.
Okay.
any other, look at that pretty cool line.
That cool is cool. It's very cool.
Thanks so much.
Yeah. All right. Well, we should just tell everybody once again, Crazy Good is streaming now on Netflix. You can also watch Blocks. Have you had any really good Blocks lately?
Burr
was good.
Burr was great, yeah.
I remember we talked about one of the things, I'll just pat my own back here,
yep.
Is you're like, oh, you came here to do, you actually did the show. Like,
yes.
And you said some people show up and they don't want to like
yeah,
do
they don't, yeah,
the premise.
The premise of the show is like things that make you feel like something's wrong with you.
And some people just don't.
Some people just don't. Like, ah.
But he was good?
Yeah, he was good. He didn't have specific things, but he's been more forthcoming.
Yeah.
About his, what's makes him feel like something's wrong with him.
Yeah. So that'd be a good one to listen to.
Yeah, it's great.
Okay.
What do you got? You got anything you want to promote?
What do I have? I'm on tour right now.
Great.
There's a bunch of dates coming up.
Great.
Next month, May 9th, I'm at the Forum in Los Angeles.
Great.
As part of the Netflix is a Joke Comedy Festival.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Get tickets. All information is at tomsegura.com/tour. Are you doing Netflix as a Joke?
I'm not, just because I might do something, but yeah, I just had something out. But
I like when you're like, I might do something, and it'll be like you and Eddie Murphy. Fucking.
No, I'm not doing shit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's always fun to see you, man.
Yeah, man. Me too.
And let's, I want to talk to you about all the other stuff, too.
Yeah. You get out of here, audience.
Send Bert your best wishes. He's recovering.
Pray for Bert.
Pray for Bert.
Bert and Tom, Tom and Bert. One goes topless while the other wears a shirt. Tom tells stories and Bert's the machine. There's not a chance in hell that they'll keep it clean. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave.